Welcome to Canoe. I'm Junior.
And I'm Jordan. We're two pastors, but don't worry, we're not going to preach.
Nah, we think the best conversations happen on a canoe.
Especially ours.
So whether you're on a run, in the kitchen, or on your commute, grab a paddle, hop in the canoe. Let's navigate a river together.
So Jordan, this is about a month ago now. We were at Jordan Peterson, downtown Chicago. You got me tickets to go see Jordan Peterson lecture at the Chicago Theater.
That was your Christmas present.
It was a great Christmas present.
Thank you.
And we went down, and the beginning was a little boring
because
it wasn't Jordan, it was his wife.
Dude, I felt so, do you remember this? I felt so bad. So she gets up there and she starts talking, and she's very nice.
Oh, sweet.
But she starts talking about her dying sister. And
who didn't die?
Who didn't die, but I just got a case of the giggles. Mid-death
story. Yeah, I was wondering
story.
What was going on. So
I just start, but I couldn't stop laughing.
In one ear, I'm hearing this horrible story. And then to my right, I'm hearing somebody laughing. And
oh,
I was like, this is my Christmas present.
Dude, I had to get up and I had to leave.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so the beginning, yeah, the beginning was pretty boring. But so I pulled out my phone and I was just kind of checking messages. And I got a message from this girl who we just released Discipline River. And this girl was just ripping apart the podcast. Just hated the content.
Apart.
I mean, she was going after us. And no, that's a lie. Actually, we have her with us right now in the canoe.
This is the first I'm hearing. You hate our podcast?
No, I'm a big fan of your podcast. However, I felt like Discipline River was lacking some consideration to other groups of people who really want to be disciplined.
That's right. Mainly single mom or single parenting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, single parents and non-resourced people who might not have the opportunities to do some of those things.
Okay, well, that's your first thing is you're a little too nice already for this podcast. Okay, yeah, we're not very considerate. You should know that by now.
I want to be invited back, you know, so I'm treading lightly.
You should know that by now. Anyways, I wanted to bring her on because she's a great thinker, and I thought she would add a lot to especially this river with her story. But just a heads up, we're not going to use her name.
Because she hates our podcast, and we know our fan base would be extremely upset at her.
That's right.
They'd shun her.
That's right. No, we don't want to use her name because I'm guessing how this goes in your experience, and you can speak into this if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But when guys hear about maybe your experience, they feel a little bit more open to contacting you. Has that been your experience?
Well, especially on the content of purity, right? And anything that's related to sex, love, relationships, then that sets the stage for someone to think, ooh, this person's open.
Sure. Yeah. And so I want to protect her, and especially your daughter as well. And
Thanks.
So we're gonna try not to use her name on this river, but we are excited to hear her story.
Yes, and welcome to Purity River.
That's right.
I don't think you even know the topic yet, but we are going down the path of purity today.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good
this
one.
This is for everybody, guys, girls. This is for everybody.
That's right.
We are not, down this river.
We're not leaving anyone out.
No. No, ladies here.
Here we go.
All right. Well, first, we've got some river views.
Today, we are reviewing one of the worst products I think I've seen yet.
It's not that bad.
Junior brought me these edamame.
Yeah, it does look like a big edamame.
A pea pod.
It's a pea pod
water bottle.
Sponge.
Yeah.
Sponge. And it's supposed to wash
it's
your water bottle.
It's two marbles inside, so it looks like a pea pod or an edamame, whatever.
And so
you throw it in your water bottle with some soap. You shake it up and it cleans your water bottle.
I have a water bottle right here.
Hey, cleaning water bottles is hard. I like what they're going after.
Cleaning a water bottle is hard?
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't have one of those skinny brushes in there, you know?
Yeah. You don't even need soap. It's water. Why would you need to clean a water bottle?
It's mildew. Also, I add stuff to my water bottle all the time.
Electrolytes.
Yeah.
Protein powder.
Okay.
You this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, hey, have Lindsay use it. And you just told me now that Lindsay wouldn't use it. Why?
She didn't like the shape of it.
Why?
I don't know. She says she didn't believe it was for water bottles. She says that looks
well.
Dumb.
Lindsay thought I was trying to play a joke on her.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? I've used this thing. Okay. I will give it a 2.5 stars.
I'm using it now. It's stuck in the dang water bottle. I hate it.
Okay. Well, you got to give it a star. All right. 1 star. 2.5 star.
Don't
look it up on Amazon. Peapod
edamame
sponge.
I'm curious though why you used a plastic water bottle to test that as opposed to the reusable ones you'd be cleaning it with.
You know what? One more time and I say your name.
So if you saw the promotion picture, which by the way, I just have to say, because Brittany, who works with me, she was like, Junior, what's up with these promo pictures? Who puts those together?
Like, did she like them?
Not at all. She's just like, who's putting these together? I was like, that's Jordan. And she's like, oh, that makes sense.
What? They're cool.
I'm always on a woman's body in those pictures. And I'm always shorter. And I think there was one where he like made me bald.
Dude, I have fun with them, bro.
Anyways, for this last one, I don't even know how we're going to do Purity River with you and I, because Temptation River was already pretty awkward. I think we blurred each other out with our shirts off.
Yeah, you kept sending me shirtless photos.
Well, because you kept asking for them.
I said, I only need one Junior.
Well, so I'm not sure what we're going to come up with for this river, but you would have noticed on there that in the canoe this week, we have an ex-adult film. And a star?
Worker.
Okay.
Star feels a little too glamorous.
Yeah, right.
Playboy.
Yeah, and which is kind of what we want to get into, because this is far less glamorous than often what's pictured. But a lot of times people think, okay, I want to hear from this person. But the story doesn't start there. The story starts with a lot of pain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, are you ready for me to jump into that part of the river?
Jump into the river.
Yeah, so... Yeah, it didn't start with working in the adult world. It didn't start with Playboy. It started with a lot of unstable relationships in my life. I had an absent father, and he was struggling with addiction, drug addiction, sex addiction, alcoholism, all kinds of things. Parents divorced, and we moved to Germany.
How old were you when you moved to Germany?
11.
Okay.
It was right before 9/11 happened, and so life got totally crazy. We moved there in July. September 9/11 happens, and... You can imagine, like, the military community was totally crazy back then. So long story short, we move over there, and Europe is very sexually free. You go to get a newspaper at your front yard, and it's got a topless woman on the cover, on the very front page. So all children can see it. It's not hidden in the comics in the inside section or in the sports section, right? It's right there where you can see it. You drive down the B40 and you can see women in their trailers with the red light on, and it's basically their red light district. So they're sitting there with their boobs out too, and you're like, whoa, I'm 13 years old, I'm driving down the highway, and this is what I see. So whether that's billboards or magazines, there's this very sexually free culture. The beaches are topless beaches. And so on the one hand, I would say that maybe Europeans might identify as less Puritan than Americans, where sex isn't condemned. And then on the other hand, there's like, it's in your face quite a bit. And so I had
it
all this
shocking.
Yeah.
Right? My wife and I went to Amsterdam. And we were walking through, and we didn't mean to. We were like, awesome, walked to the red light district.
The red light district,
And, you know, women in almost like stores just standing there. And it shocked me that that's a reality.
Yeah. And they make it appear as though it's glamorous in a lot of ways, where it's like this is some symbol or some achievement to attain, where it's like you get to be the front page of the newspaper. How many people are raised with that mentality that, like, you want to be the front page sports star? So some people view that as the same thing. And... When I got to Germany, I mean, that sex culture was really there. And I was curious about that because I knew far too much, far too early about sex. And that colored so many of the decisions I would make. And when I tried to approach adults about that, I was very rejected and told, don't do drugs, don't have sex, don't drink. And me being a curious person and a thinker, I was like, well, I'm going to go find out what all that is. And so I started to explore relationships, and I would get information from my friends and not from my parents.
How old did this start?
Probably 11, 12, 13. Wow. Yeah, pretty early, like middle school age. And so all that starts to kind of catapult into, you know, you can watch porn on TV in Europe after midnight for free. And so it was like my brain was being infiltrated with all of this stuff. And, you know, by the time I'm 15, I had lost my virginity. And maybe a week after, I'm sexually assaulted by a police officer. And so what I thought was supposed to be this like fun, exciting thing that I had just discovered now became this really dark and scary thing. And after that experience, I had sort of a vendetta against men where I really wanted to claim my power back. And once you've become a victim of sexual assault, you're highly likely to become a victim again. So that wasn't the one and only time that I was sexually assaulted by somebody. And that pattern sort of continued. And
how are you likely to be... Like, yeah, why
to be re-victimized?
It's actually pretty fascinating. The the truth behind that. Because it's very, like very true.
Once it happens once, your guard should be up, is what you'd think.
But well, that can play against you.
Right. Well, not only that, you become a vulnerable person. And so you as a vulnerable person emanate that. And so people who are predators, they pick up on who's vulnerable and they're able to discern those things. And so once they know that you're a vulnerable person and then you're seeking to find the biggest threat in the room, that's actually how people tend to stay in toxic relationships. So you become hyper aware, then you attune to who's the biggest threat in the room, confuse it for love, and then now you're involved with someone who's a narcissist or someone who's a toxic partner for you. And so with the re-victimization piece, that's pretty much how that continued to happen, was like I would trust someone that was close to me, such as a family member, and that person would be someone who would then later harm me. And so those types of situations would happen. And then, you know, I stopped wanting to be with men completely and I decided I was going to be with women. And so, you know, my sex life turned into this dark, confusing, explorative. I was trying to make sense of all these experiences. And after I turned 18, I came to America and I was assaulted by someone that I trusted and that I knew, who I'd grown up with. And that situation totally screwed me up. And right after that, I posed for Playboy because I was like, you know what? Screw men, screw them. They keep taking this from me. I keep trusting people who I think I can trust, family members, people that I've known forever. And I look at posing for Playboy as like, this is my big F you, pardon my language, to these people who are hurting me. And
because you'd mentioned this before, it was like, they can't take it if I'm just giving it away.
Right. You can't take what I'm freely giving. And so it looked to me at the time is like, well, I'm going to be in control of it. I'm going to make money off of this and I'm going to go do the things that I want to do because then you can't hurt me. And so now I've set the stage and I felt like I had control and power.
And so did it feel empowering?
In a way, it felt empowering to get the attention and the desire that I was seeking because I had this absent father. I had these men who used me and discarded me like trash because I felt like sex was love. So I would have sex with somebody or I would have any kind of relationship with them, whether it was sexual or not. And I kept thinking like, this person's going to love me. This person's going to love me. And I would find myself in the same situation over and over again, discarded, emptied, used, feeling totally abandoned. And I kept thinking like, this isn't how it's supposed to go. The movies tell you that like, okay, you meet someone, you fall in love, you have sex, you have this great relationship, and then everything is going to be fine. And that was such a lie about sex, was that like, that was always going to lead to this beautiful, blissful experience.
So the other day I was in the gym and I noticed two, they had to be high school girls that were, you know, working out or whatever. And one of the girls had a Playboy bunny shirt on. And at first I looked at that, it was just kind of heartbreaking. So I was like, man, I mean, to wear that says a lot about, this is a teenager, says a lot about just your feeling, you know, how you view this industry is more glamorous. And that's kind of what you were feeling on the front end of it.
For sure.
A little bit while you got into it. Can you speak to that a little bit more of how it's maybe not, how
it's not as glamorous as you may have thought when you got into it?
No, it's definitely not as glamorous as you think it's going to be or as I thought it was going to be. And I think that, you know, that's kind of how strip clubs work too, right? If anyone's ever walked into a strip club, then you're going to see all these lights and shiny music and it's going to look really beautiful, but then you round the corner and that's where you see vomit on the floor and gum stuck to the carpet and scabies on the pole. And maybe you don't visibly see that, but you get the picture I'm kind of painting. It's like, it's not an enjoyable environment, whether it's a high end or low end place. And so to this girl who's wearing the Playboy shirt, I would say, I see that as someone who desperately wants attention. She's desperately wanting to be seen. And so what's a fast way for a woman to be seen is through her body, because the female figure is a beautiful figure. And so I think that a lot of women, when they go to the gym, that's what they want, is to be seen. If you've ever been to a gym, you've seen a lot of people in sports bras, short shorts, really tight clothes, revealing. And so I think my first thought is that's what she
not
wants
Planet
is to be
Fitness,
seen.
Not Planet Fitness, by the way, where I go.
Yeah, right.
It's not allowed.
But we've talked about it too.
I've almost gotten kicked out for like, that tank is a little too, like, it's a tank top. I'm a dude.
did you set off the lunk alarm?
Not yet.
Dude, no, but it is true. We've talked about that. We've seen a lot of affairs happen, and we've had to deal with the fallout of that. And a lot of them is that gym
meet up.
There's
the gym.
a real gym hookup culture.
It's so true.
Yeah. I mean, I work as a sex addiction therapist, and that's what I see in my career is that people come in and they're like, where'd you meet your affair partner? At the gym. Yeah.
So here's the moral of today is don't go to the gym.
Discipline River said something else. So now I feel like you're kind of back. You're missing your mark there.
She's got a vendetta. You know what? I hated that episode too.
No. So I guess back to the question about whether or not it's glamorous is that, yeah, you go into it thinking I'm going to be in this magazine and it's going to be great. They give you 50 papers to sign where you have to put your real name on everything so that way you can get your paycheck. And if you don't put your real name, you're not going to get paid. So when you're 18, 19 years old going into this and you're told you're going to be a college co-ed or you're going to be Cyber Girl of the Month or whatever's going to happen, you get excited thinking like people are going to know me. They're going to see me. They're going to want me or desire me or whatever that's going to be. And it's different for every model for why they go into that, but you don't get paid. You wear 14 different outfits in one day and they take millions of pictures of you. They sell them over and over again. You get no royalties from that. So
you get
no
money from this.
None.
Wow.
No. In a 3-day weekend of shooting, probably 50 shoots of content, of videos and photos and all the stuff that goes into that, you walk away with maybe $1,500.
And these are all videos and photos you can't get back.
I can never get back. I own no rights to them. I can never get them scrubbed from the internet. Spent thousands of dollars on search engine optimization stuff to try to get it removed. Wow. Because once Playboy owns it, once any company owns it, they own you, your body, your content, your words, your everything. So anything I've ever said in an interview, anything I've ever said in a video, even this podcast right now, I don't even know if there's a DCMA law that says I can't talk about my experience with them like this.
Sure.
Yeah. Probably 10 years would be the gap. And so it's been more than 10 years, but I don't even know that for sure. So we may need to ask a lawyer about that.
So if you don't want me going here, how do you adapt to that? Because I'm sure now as you're talking about it, like, oh, if I could go talk to myself, you know, how many years ago how do you adapt to that now?
Well, I wouldn't have talked myself out of it back then because that is what led me to Jesus. Okay. And so because I don't think that I could have found Jesus and he could have found me in the way that he did if I didn't have this sexual past and the history that I had there, then that I may not have ever come to salvation. And that's the best thing that's ever happened to me. So for my story, would I go back and do it differently? I wish I could have, but it led me to where I'm at now. And I think this is where God wants me to be. So it took what it took. But if I could talk to other girls who are contemplating this and living in the OnlyFans culture that says I'm going to go online and start an OnlyFans to make my side hustle, I would say steer clear of that because it's not glamorous. Yeah. It'll never go away. It'll be tied to your name. We live in the era of AI where you have an alias and it'll be like, did you mean so-and-so? Because I used aliases eventually later when I figured out you could do that. And then it would be tied. Did you mean this person? Did you mean this and this? It got tied to my family. My mom was convinced that she never got promotions because of the content that was out there. My mom found out about Playboy when her principal came to her and said, did you know I caught my son looking at this content on the internet last night? Mm. And for her, that was mortifying, you know? So as a mom now, I look at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't think about anybody else with my actions. I just thought about the people that had hurt me, the power that I had, the power that I wanted to have, the illusion of control that I had. Yeah. And all of that was so destructive. And the only thing that I could do at the end of all of it was to try to pick up the pieces on the floor. And when I tried to pick up all those pieces in my will, I failed every time and found myself in broken relationship after broken relationship with abusive men, with people who were liars and alcoholics and replaying my childhood over and over again. And that's kind of a long-winded answer to what the warning would be, but that's how that traps you in that cycle. And that's what Satan does. He just finds one little angle that he can pull you in. So he knows you're insecure about how you look. So you wear the Playboy shirt to the gym. Well, now he knows, okay, so you're craving attention. You want to be desired. So I'm going to send you people who do that to you. And I'm going to challenge you on your morals and all the things that you want to live for. So now when I lead purity group, that's the first place that Satan attacks when I'm starting purity group. So we're 5 weeks in right now. And that's the area that he tries to tempt me the most. Well, you want to be pure and live for God now, and you want to live this abstinent lifestyle. So I'm going to do everything I can to try to tempt you to walk away from that.
And two, you know, as far as the girl and the videos and the pictures that are flying around too, coming to Jesus is so beautiful in the sense that it's not you anymore. That, you know, you're in Jesus now. And that's somebody that's totally it's totally different.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jesus changes everything.
Yeah. It's ultimately what we're looking for. I heard a good quote, and it's talking about how the orgasm has replaced the cross as the focus and longing and image of fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and like you said, you saw it in Europe, this over-sexualized culture that now we see here in the West. And now, right, there was pornography on past, free pornography past 12. Now it's on your phone. I mean, it's it is crazy. And I think, speaking to the guy side of you, you hear a lot of times guys get into pornography when they feel lonely, right? And mm-hmm. in the girl side too, is they want to feel seen. And so there's this, like, they have to go after this image of this is what's going to fulfill me, and it never does, is what you have kind of spoken to. You kind of went to the pinnacle of what most women would say, like, hey, here's the fulfillment of it, and it didn't last.
No, it actually emptied me and then led me down to a path where I continued to basically try to fill a bucket with a hole in it, right? Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter how much attention I got. It didn't matter how much lust or desire or love or sex was involved in all of that. I just continued to feel so drained all the time because I was like, this is supposed to bring the thing that it's promising, right? That's what the world tells you, is that, you know, porn is never going to reject you. And that is what traps people in it, is that you're alone. It can never reject you because it's always accessible. So there's all these temptations and reasons why people continue to go back to it. But ultimately, I mean, once you go down that road, you've already been a vulnerable person. Now you're vulnerable again. I mean, that's what leads to trafficking. The porn industry is mainly supported by trafficking, and that's where that comes from. So when you have people who are there, they don't just walk into that like, I can't wait to be a porn star one day. This is going to be so much fun. I'm going to make myself famous by being a porn star. That's not how they get into that. And so I guess the thing about it being glamorous is that it's not glamorous at all. And then you have such a huge mess to clean up afterwards, because when you have sex with someone or when you're performing any type of act that's reserved for marriage, that's where you end up giving away a huge part of yourself that you can't get back.
I will say, let me just talk to the guys here for a second, maybe girls as well, but I'm a guy, so I just maybe feel more comfortable talking to the guys. But the girl that we have in the canoe right now is not an anomaly, in the sense of there are a lot of previous adult film makers and sex workers that are now in the church that, that Jesus has claimed.
Praise the Lord.
And it's awesome. And so I just want to speak to the guys. Guys, if you are watching porn, you have a chance of looking and lusting at a now sister in Christ, somebody that God has captured, and that should change our attitude when it comes to is an addiction, which we're going to talk about more in just a little bit. But that's a very different frame of mind to have when it comes to purity.
And whether they come to faith or not, they're still a child created in God's image.
That's right.
Right. And still loved and adored by God. So that alone is reason to look away.
Yep. In the image of God. That's right. All right. Well, I don't know, even not necessarily how to transition out of that.
Canoes. Junior, have you seen this viral rat pothole in Chicago?
So, I did see it.
Yeah, so there's this rat-shaped pothole in Chicago that people are from all over.
Well, apparently, like, a steamroller went over it and, like, pressed the rat into the cement.
People from all over the country are going and showing up and paying their respects.
I do want to see it. It looks awesome.
We got to go.
We should. It reminds me of at Moody, when we were, because you and I both went to the same college. You ever go rat bashing?
Rat bashing.
Yeah.
No, but I remember the rats at our school were the size of baby. They were the size of raccoons.
They were huge. So, you know, when you're at Bible college, it's like you can't go out drinking and you're not having sex. So, hey, Purity River, you know. So
so let's go bash some rats.
You didn't have much to do. So me and a few guys, we'd dress up. We'd like wear headbands. We'd look ridiculous. We'd take baths. We'd just go find rats and just start killing them.
Oh, my
God. And just smash them.
Dude, one time at Moody, I saw this bunny. And you know how, like, guys, we just like to throw things at animals?
No. Is that just me?
Anyway, yes. Dude, I had this app on my hand. I saw this bunny from a good, like, I'm talking 50 yards away. I threw this apple, dome rocked the bunny.
Are you serious?
Killed
Knock
it on
it
the
out?
Spot.
No.
And these girls were around me. They were like in tears. I ran away so fast, dude. Best shot of my life.
You know what I did one time? I didn't mean to hit him, but there was a jogger. I was on the 19th floor,
yeah.
And I had a banana. And I thought, it'd be so funny for this jogger to be running. All of a sudden a banana splats right by him. He'd have a great story to tell. So I mushed up the banana, dropped it from the 19th floor. It hit him in the head. And he like looked around. Like, I quickly closed the window, but I was like, dude, that guy's going to go home and I'd be like, you'll never guess what happened. I got hit in the head with a banana while I was on my run.
That is funny. It's like Mario Kart. Oh, dude. All this to say, don't go to the city. There's some messed up people like there.
Visiting rats, bashing, hitting bunnies, and throwing bananas. So you'd mentioned earlier that you're, what's the title? Sex therapist?
Yeah, certified sex addiction therapist.
Sex addiction therapist, okay. Mm-hmm. And you mainly talk with like just people who have like are addicted to porn or promiscuity, or is
all
it also with
that.
Couples?
No, all of that with couples too. I mean, okay. It could be chronic cheaters, it could be extramarital affairs, it can be porn addiction, love addiction,
okay,
attention, fantasy, eroticized rage. I mean, all different kinds of stuff.
Wow. So because, yeah, the box is big. Yeah. You know, when Paul uses the word porneia, it doesn't just mean like, well, they didn't have computers back then. But
right.
It's like all that's, it's like a drawer all full of all that stuff.
Yep.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you're talking to somebody who, and let's say they are a believer. Mm-hmm. Not everybody who listens is a believer. Let's just say you're talking to a believer, you're sitting, you know, in an office with a believer and they're addicted to one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your first
piece of advice?
Yeah, first piece is confess to God. First would be get on your knees, confess to God, and ask him to search your heart and to reveal to you what's the root of this. What is it that you're really longing for? And then to get an accountability partner, because you can't go through this alone. So find someone that you trust who you can be totally transparent with about whatever your struggle is, whether it's porn or affairs or lust or love, whatever that is. Tell someone and then check in with them and find someone who's going to actually be with you on that journey, because you can't have someone that says, I'm going to be there for you at 2 a.m. when your flesh is revolting and you're screaming out like, I can't not do this. You need someone who's going to be there. So
now you just said root of the problem. I'd love to for you just talk for a second on that, because as you mentioned with your story, with sex is like acting out in a sense. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's pretty much the norm for people with sex addiction, that they're acting out in some sort of way? It's actually tied to some sort of other issue?
Oh, for sure. I mean, for a lot of people, it's numbing. You know, they're numbing whatever pain they're feeling. It's a coping skill. So we grew up in the era, especially if you're 19 to 35, where you grew up with your phone in one hand, your hand in your pants, under your covers, hiding from your parents because you had access to that, right? Yeah. So that creates a template for how you're going to deal with stuff. So you're disappointed you didn't make the basketball team. That's what you went home and did. Now you've created a template that says, that's how I feel better.
Okay.
So that's going to go all the way into your future, into your adult life, into your marriage, into all different areas.
Causing
chaos.
Yeah.
Right.
So partly you need a new template. So you're in
exactly.
part of the template you're saying is first get it out there. Confess to God and to someone else.
Yeah.
Which say, because Jesus' little brother James said, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed, that there's healing.
Which how many times too, and I remember I struggled in high school, and I remember how many times I'd pour my heart out to God and then there'd be no change. I'm like, oh my word. Because I was still, at the end of the day, it was still in the dark. Yeah, I was me and God, but it was this thing where it's like, no, you have to bring it and bring it to the light to actually get help with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you have to go to church too, right? It's like, we need to be able to see one another, to walk alongside each other, to notice like, oh, you seem a little off today. Hey, what's going on with you? I haven't seen you around lately. So that's why Christians have to do it in community, right? The Bible's very clear that we can't do this alone.
That's right.
Okay, so the template, so confess. And then what's another part of the template? A new template.
Well, confess, accountability.
Yeah, confess and accountability. So just really diving into that and finding support wherever that is, 12-step groups, church, pastors, Christian friends, whomever. But you need someone who's really going to be there.
You and I are accountability.
We are.
Partners. I've had some issues with you with the, and we've talked about that on the podcast already, but the Renaissance men.
No. Okay, you can't just throw it out there without saying anything. That's
not we've
fair.
Already talked about it. All right. So number one was confess accountability.
Yep.
Number two.
I would say put sex in its proper context, right? So sex is reserved only for marriage. And so as a young Christian woman dating, I've gone on dates with people who say, well, what are your physical boundaries? How far can we go? How far can we not go? And I'm like, well, that shouldn't be a question in Christian dating. Because
it's kind of a weird question.
We should all understand that sex is reserved strictly for marriage. And that's where that includes orgasms, heavy petting, touching, bringing someone to arousal, leading someone to sin, all of those things. And so
I love what Solomon says, don't awaken love before it is time.
Right.
And so you're saying, I mean, it's true. It's what scripture is saying, time is marriage.
Right.
Yeah,
or
yeah, that is, especially in the church too. I grew up in the church and I thought mm-hmm. sex was purely penetration.
Mm-hmm.
And then it leads you down this whole road of all this other stuff that gets you in trouble.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So confess and accountability to sex in its proper context.
Yep,
which is
all
a,
sex.
A big deal. All, yeah. The whole drawer of porn.
which we do have to get in because sex is a gift. And we've been talking about mm-hmm. this all from this negative side of it. But part of it, it's re-seeing sex how it's supposed to be, which is mm-hmm. it is a gift in its proper context. It's kind of the whole fire illustration. Yeah. Fire in the fireplace is a beautiful thing. Fire on the couch.
It's a bad thing.
It's destructive.
That's right.
100%.
Yeah. It's a gift from God and it is often abused. All right. So confess, accountability.
Yep.
Proper place. What's number three?
Number three is then to guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your soul from all the things that are going to lead you to that lustful place, whether that's impure thoughts, whether those are the thoughts that leads to actions, to behaviors that you're having a hard time stopping. That might mean removing music, movies, books, people, places, triggers. All of that stuff has to go, especially if you're new to recovery. So if you're someone who's still actively watching porn, listening to this podcast, then that means that you're going to take away anything that's related to that. And you're going to not go to the gym if that's your trigger place because you see the girl with the Playboy bunny shirt on and that's a trigger for you. Maybe you got to start working out at home until you have enough recovery to build on. In that time, that's where you then fill yourself with scripture. You fill yourself with prayer. You fill yourself with Jesus.
Yeah. So it's a holistic change is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what Jesus said when he said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He wasn't talking necessarily about your physical hand. He's just saying this radical amputation of like, yeah, if you can't go to the gym or if you can't handle the mm-hmm. internet, then get off the internet. But like, it's better to get rid of that stuff than be thrown into hell is what Jesus was saying.
Yeah, put filters on your computer and, you know, you can't strive in your will and white knuckle it. It's not going to happen if you try to white knuckle your way through it. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to strive in the spirit to get there. And you can't strive in the spirit if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. So when you feel yourself in those moments and your flesh is weak, that's where your body's revolting. Then you turn to Jesus every single time. Yeah. And you turn to people who are Christ-filled and are going to guide you from a Christ perspective. And that's the only way that you can get through that. You're not going to white knuckle your way through it. People have tried that for hundreds of years and it doesn't work.
That's right. No, I love that. And I think that's the perfect place to finish this is Jesus is better. I mean, and that's really, mm-hmm. as we walk through your story, you were just searching for Jesus. You're searching for, you know, you had the hole in your heart that only God could fill,
mm-hmm.
As the saying goes, but there's just so much truth to that Jesus is better. And I think sometimes what Christians can do, the Christians who struggle with this is they can think, well, I did come to Jesus, but I still struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
A big part of this is walking closer to Jesus. It is, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is a lot harder to walk very close to Jesus, to be pursuing him, but also to be entertaining addictions, sexual addictions, that the closer you get to Jesus, the harder it is to entertain that. It's possible, mm-hmm. but it's certainly a heck of a lot harder.
Well, and I think too, what happens is that, yeah, you might have relapses and slips along the way, but you're going to widen the gap between your sin. And I'm not saying that I've never struggled in this area throughout this. Christian dating is hard too. Like it's definitely a journey, but you're going to widen the gap. And if you don't achieve perfection in the first month, keep going, keep widening the gap. Pick up your cross every single day and follow Jesus. And if you messed up today, pray, repent, turn away, and start again in that exact same moment.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on
Purity
River. Absolutely. And if you are listening, like, subscribe. But we love those shares. Those shares go a long way. Let's get these to more ears. More ears need to hear what we just heard. And so let's get those shares out. We'll see you on the next river.
All this to say, don't go to the city. There's some messed up people
like
there.
Visiting rats, bashing, hitting bunnies, and throwing bananas.